Lesson today is found in the Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter. We left off speaking to you last week about the Good Samaritan, how that this man who had fallen amongst the thieves and was lying in his blood was taken care of by a Samaritan who passed by and saw him and went to him and probably spoke to him and asked him how that he came to be in such a state. And when he explained what had happened to him, we find that he poured likewise oil and wine into the wound. He took the position of a surgeon, of a physician. And normally in the Eastern countries, most of the people, they carried oil and wine with them. Oil was something that they used because it was so hot and it dried up their skin, therefore they used oil, which was very comforting and soothing to them. They also used oil, as we use butter, for their food. And this Samaritan, he poured oil and wine into the wound so that the wound would be clean, that they wouldn't fester, that no gangrene would set in. And after he had taken care of him in this respect, he set him up on his own donkey or animal and took him to an inn, he walking before him. And when he came to the inn, he took him in, got a room for him, got a bed for him, seen to it that he had some food to eat. Then he went to the proprietor thereof and told him that here was some money, take care of the man, and when I come back, if there's any more expense, I will see to it that it will be paid. What a blessing this was for this man that had fallen among the thieves. And what a blessing for the Samaritan that he had a heart for a human being to help him out. But this Samaritan did not know of what nationality or what country or what religion this man was. He seen him and he went to him. This was a generous thing for this Samaritan to do, seeing he was a foreigner, he was a stranger. Now this parable has an exceptionally beautiful explanation, which of course is not applied to why Christ spake it, but it is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we, my dear hearers, in and through sin, we have been stripped. The devil robbed us of everything that God gave us when he created us in righteousness and in holiness. And we likewise have been wounded by the devil. And we likewise, we need someone to come to us as the Samaritan went to this man that had fallen among the thieves. And this one that comes to us by grace is our Lord Jesus Christ. He takes up our case. And when he by grace comes to us, he then also pours in not oil and wine, but he pours in his precious blood, which is of great value, and which likewise heals the wound that has been made in paradise by our sins and our iniquities. This man lying there, the scripture says, was left half dead. We are not half dead, my hearers, but we are twice dead in trespasses and sins, and we are without strength to help ourselves. But Jesus comes to poor creatures like that and raises them up and tells them to lay all the expense of the cure that he has given to his account. It's free. It's for nothing. This likewise leads those that experience this to say, what shall I render to the Lord for all the benefits bestowed upon such a sinner like me? It likewise teaches us that as this man, the lawyer, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? Jesus giving him this lesson. And then Jesus spoke to him and said unto him, who now of these three was neighbor to the man that fell among the thieves? And this lawyer, instead of saying, the Samaritan, he did a good deed to the Jew, he said, him that had mercy upon him. instead of naming the Samaritan, he just said him that had mercy upon him. This lawyer was given to hear Jesus say to him, do thou likewise, so do you also. This was a lesson that this lawyer needed. He had come to Christ and he was proud of his knowledge of the laws, but now Christ sent him to school to the Samaritan to teach him a lesson. This do as this Samaritan did. So he says to you and I, so do as this Samaritan did. It's a lesson for each and every one of us, that we are to help those, irrespective of who they are, of what color, of what race, and what religion they are. If they are in distress, if they are in need of help, then we are to help such creatures. This is what Jesus teaches us here. And what a blessing when we have a heart to do so, that we don't hold back what we want to give at this present time, but do like the Samaritan. He did everything possible for this man. So may the Lord grant every one of us this grace to be like Christ is and like this Samaritan was. We have David in the Old Testament, who likewise showed compassion unto one of the family of Saul called Mephibosheth. This Mephibosheth was crippled in both feet. He couldn't walk. And when he was called upon to come to David, he was filled with fear. He feared that this was the end of his life, because Saul was the worst enemy that David had, and he was related to Saul. And when he came before David, then David spake unto him, Mephibosheth. I think that was enough already for this man, that it cleared him inside of his fears that David was going to take his life. And because he had made a covenant with Jonathan, he therefore promised this man that he would give unto him all the land of his father's house. He would restore it back to him, and that he personally, he should sit at David's table and eat there continually. And when he heard this kindness, this compassion that David showed to him, the Bible says, who am I, a dead dog, that thou should take notice of me? So humbled became this man before this compassion and pity that David showed. Nothing is said of this man that fell among the thieves, of how thankful he was and what gratitude he had towards this Samaritan. But Mephibosheth was deeply humbled before David, for when he was treated like this, where he had expected that he would be taken from off the earth. Oh, may we all be given such love and such affection to our neighbors, and may we not hold back when we are in a position to do so. Oh, we even should love our enemies, the Bible teaches us. And if we love our enemies and do good to our enemies, then by doing this we shall heap coals of fire upon their heads, and the Lord shall reward us, Solomon says. Oh, how seldom is this done in life, my hearers. Oh, we are enemies likewise of those that are enemies to us, and we have nothing over for them. Oh, we need grace to do something like that, or it doesn't take place. Now, this lesson may God bless to you and I, and may we be given to glorify God in our lives, and that grace may be shown to us at this time when it is necessary to give to those that are in distress. Our lesson today is found in the same chapter, continues right on. We find that Jesus went unto a village called Bethany. It doesn't say Bethany, but that's the name of the village. He entered into a village, and a certain woman by the name of Martha received him into her house. Bethany was 2 miles away from Jerusalem. It was at the foot of Mount Olivet. Bethany was a place where many wonderful things took place in the ministry of Christ here upon earth. It was in Bethany that likewise he was invited to the house of Simon the leper. It was likewise in Bethany that Judas, his disciple, hung himself. It was likewise in Bethany, from this mount, that Jesus ascended up into heaven. Jesus then was accustomed to come to this town called Bethany, a beautiful little town at the foot of this mountain. The book, Bible Student Companion book, says that it's a beautiful place, and when travelers visit this place, they are shown the rooms of the house where Martha lived in. They are also shown the spot, the grave, where Lazarus had been buried in. This, of course, is probably not the right place. It's only pretended to be. But it's a small, very small village at the present time. It only has about 20 families living in it, and they live in mud hovels. This place, when Christ was upon earth, was a beautiful town, and this is where Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, her brother, did dwell. Jesus came to this town many times after spending the day in the temple at Jerusalem. He had a mother, he had a home, but it was in Galilee, very far away from Jerusalem, to which he was unable to go at the close of the day. Jesus, while he was here upon earth, was necessitated to be helped and supported by his followers, by his friends who took care of him. And now he had many friends, but he had some particular friends that he loved more than others, and they were these three people that lived in Bethany: Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. These three, they loved the Lord Jesus Christ because God the Father had chosen them from all eternity. They were chosen in Christ by God. They were loved by the Father. They were purchased by the Son. And they were inhabited by the Spirit of God. The Spirit dwelt in these three people. They lived together. The commentary says probably that Martha was a widow, that she had charge of the house. Whether she was or not, the Bible doesn't say. But thinking of these three people, my dear hearers, all three of them loved by God, all three of them possessing this life, all three of them enjoying communion and fellowship with each other. What good times they must have had. They didn't have to restrain their conversation. No, they all knew something about the life of God. They had it in them. And how freely they discussed this with each other. And how blessed they were above so many other families that Christ came under their roof and that he made it his place to sleep there at night. That he was welcomed by this woman, Martha. He was hated. He was despised. He was even being sought to be killed. But Martha did him welcome. She opened her house to him. He was welcome to come whenever he wanted to. And irrespective of the danger that she was in herself by having him in her house, she let him come there. And when he did come, she always made a very good meal for him. She prepared the table. She was a good householder. And so Christ, he came then to this village, and he came into this house where these three people dwelt. And this was a sign that he loved these people. Christ's visits are tokens of his love. Has he ever visited any one of you, my dear hearers? Has he ever come under the roof of your heart and entered in and made himself known unto you? Have you ever heard his voice? His voice is so sweet. He has said, my sheep, they hear my voice. and they follow me. I'm sure that if he ever has visited your heart, taken possession of it, given you a little feeling of his love and of his mercy, that you long again and again for such a visit, and that you wish that those visits would last much longer than they do. Sometimes it's only for a moment, but how sweet it is to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. For these people, they long for Christ to come to their home. They were pleased to have him in their house. And when he came into this house, but then he normally sat in a chair, and immediately Mary, who was spoken of in the next verse, sat at his feet. And Martha had a sister called Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. Mary then was a soul that was anxious to be instructed to hear Christ speak and preach. For truly when he came there, he preached the gospel in this home to those that were assembled with him. For this woman, it was an added expense to have Christ come there. He usually brought his disciples with him, and she had to prepare a meal for all of them. But she didn't mind that. Probably they were well off, they weren't poor, they were better off than a lot of other people, and they had everything over for Christ. Well, wouldn't you have everything over for him if he ever came into your heart? If he ever visited you, spoke to you, and give you that assurance that he loves you? I'm sure then you likewise would have your whole pocketbook open for Christ. You wouldn't keep anything back for him. So it was with these people that dwelt here. And Jesus, coming into the home, made himself comfortable, for he was busy in Jerusalem, busy preaching, busy doing miracles and healing people, especially with thousands of people round about him. But then when he came there, he was only too glad that he had a place to go to and that he could rest. And when he was resting, he usually spake. And this Mary, she always came to his feet. She loved to hear his words. Have you ever been at the feet of Christ? I know you can't be at his feet as she was, physically, but have you ever been at the feet of Christ? Sometimes it happens under the means of grace. Sometimes it happens while you're reading the scriptures. Sometimes when you're alone, you're given such access and such nearness to him, you feel that you're at his feet, that he's listening to you. And he likewise communes with you when you hear his voice. Oh, my dear hearers, this is what Mary esteemed more than anything in this life. Have you ever had it when you were under the means of grace, listening to the word, that your attention was so directed to the voice that you were listening to that it was as if the Lord was speaking to you? You forgot where you were. You didn't know about the people that were sitting around you. You didn't know actually where you were. It was just like it was just you and God together in the house of worship. And that has been so sweet, you can never forget that time. And sometimes it happens with the Lord's people that they have good hearing times. They don't always have them. But sometimes they are so brought close to the Lord and given such ears and hearts to hear and to receive the word, is that they're so absorbed, they don't mind anything round about them. And I think some of us have wished that the church would never go out then. We wish that the sermon would continue. And sometimes we wish, while we're sitting listening, that we may exchange our seat from here and go home to heaven to be with him, which would be far better.
Oh, how blessed it is to be at the feet of Christ sometimes, to be loosened from everything, and to wish that you were with him forever and ever. Have you ever had something like that? What a blessed posture to be at the feet of Christ. He brings us there. We can't bring ourselves there. Mary brought herself there. She was anxious to listen to his word, but she couldn't open her own heart. She couldn't open her own ears, and neither can you. But when he does, oh, you wish that you could remain there. Now, this was the attitude and the desire of Mary. And now, as she was sitting listening to the word, we find that Martha, her sister, as she was cumbered with much serving. She loved the Lord Jesus Christ just as much as Mary. And she had it in her heart to do what she could to make a nice, splendid meal, to have all kinds of varieties, and to have the table filled with the delicacies that she could purchase. This was her aim, this was her intention. Not in pride or anything, no, but she loved him too, and this is the way she loved him, if she could but show it on the table. And she's very busy. Some of you women know that if you have, say, 10, 12 people coming for company, well, then you have to have quite a bit to eat, and you have to have things prepared, and it's a lot of work for some of these women to do this. And so Martha was very busy. She was cumbered with much serving, it says. It's good. It's our duty, likewise, to be careful and to have care for who we are going to serve. But to be cumbered about it, to be excessively, abundantly anxious to make a show and to have things that we never had before is not necessary. Christ does not wish this either. He did not like this either, that Martha went out of herself to do all this. In all probabilities, he had told her once before already, you know, that she shouldn't make such a fuss. It was not necessary for that. Just normal was enough, but she didn't listen. And now this time, she's busy. She's cumbered serving Christ and his disciples. And as she's working like this, I was thinking myself, but had she but said, Jesus, please speak a little louder. While I'm doing this, then I can hear too. But she didn't. She got angry. She got angry at her sister because her sister remained sitting at the feet of Christ. She didn't arise. She was too absorbed, Mary. She was drinking it all in. She didn't even notice what Martha was doing. But Martha, she got irritated. Inside, she probably was cooking. She didn't think that this was right, that she sat there and she let her do all the work. Of course, now, this is true many times when a person becomes religious, becomes concerned about eternity, and begins to turn to the Word, turns away from all worldly things, and even though they may be married, they may have a husband, or they may have a wife, then those that are still in the world, they cannot see that such do these things. So with Martha, she should have been jealous of Mary. And she should have went and sat alongside of her and said, well, we'll forget about eating. This is much better than eating. I'd rather listen to Jesus. But she didn't. See, it got her irritated. And it got her so irritated that she went to Christ. And she said to Christ, does it not hinder thee, Lord, that you see that my sister doth not help me to serve? Bid her to help me. She then brought her cause and case to Christ. Now, we are not always right when we bring such cases to Christ. We want him to espouse our cause, which is wrong, and which he will never do.
This Martha then stopped because Christ had said before, you overdo it and you're all out to help me and to entertain me. She thought that surely Christ would take up her cause and take up her case. But he did not. In fact, he reproved her. He said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part that shall not be taken away from her. He then, who was her guest, instead of taking up her side, he rebuked her. He rebuked her publicly, openly. He told her in his many words, oh, Martha, you're so troubled about a lot of things. You needn't be so troubled. You needn't be so irritated about this. A little is enough. You don't have to go all out and fill the table with everything that you could find. I'm satisfied with just enough. That's plenty. You are troubled and concerned about many things. And this so lies this, my dear hearers, that worldly business, worldly things, likewise, cause us to detract from religion. Here was a woman. She was busy trying to make a splendid entertainment for Christ himself. And this happens so many times in the world. When ministers come to someone's house, some probably come even to some house here, some mother takes care a lot of times for a meal, and they go all out to get everything they possibly can on the table for the minister and for the guest that he has brought with him. And many times this person, this woman, is busy making this dinner for the minister and for those that are with him. And after the dinner, she don't even have any time herself to come to the worship. She desecrates the Lord's Day in this way. And the ministers, of course, they excuse this. They think it's a good deed. But should Christ come at that place, I think he would sharply rebuke the persons that are trying to justify themselves in this way. More sharply than Martha was rebuked, for they would try to justify themselves in it. And Christ does not justify something like that. And now, usually when a minister comes to the home, then usually there is a spiritual conversation. But when the dinner is being prepared and much time is wasted in doing this, there isn't much spiritual conversation. And sometimes even the woman that has to make the meal and prepare it all, even she gets angry. She gets upset. And now in many places, not in ours probably, but maybe in Holland, they do have servants that wait on them. And the servants, they have to wait on the minister and on the people that have come to the dinner. And the servants, they have no opportunity either of going to the house of God, because they have to go all out because it's the minister. Entirely wrong. Jesus says, enough. Just a little is sufficient. Not such excessive outgoing and getting all kinds of varieties of food on the table. This Martha then was rebuked. Now we find also in what Martha said something wrong. Was her sister. And now her sister was in a blessed place. She should have been jealous of her, but instead she goes to Christ with her complaint about her sister. How often this takes place, likewise, in families. Families have someone that's concerned, someone that's seeking after God, after Jesus Christ. And they, likewise, are picked on by their own relatives, sometimes by the husband, sometimes by the wife. Here one sister's picking on another sister. And both of them, they have spiritual life. Not only those that don't have any life, but even those that have life. They likewise sometimes get angry, so as Martha got angry. But Jesus rebuked her very openly and said to her, Martha, Martha, he was deeply concerned about her state and condition because she was not in the right frame at the present time. And therefore he spoke this way. And so we likewise are many times busy with worldly things, things that are trifles, things that do not concern much for eternity. Oh, what time is wasted seeking after the things and the vanities of this world, busy with worldly objects, and no time for your immortal soul, no concern about it. More busy with the world and where you're going to go, what you're going to do, what you're going to eat, and what you're going to drink. These things occupy your mind. They absorb you even while you're here in this house of prayer. Oh, how blessed it is to be like Mary, sitting at the feet of Christ, attentive, not sleeping, not drowsy, not gaping around to see who's here and who's not, and not listening for something that you think would be a good one for somebody else. Oh, how seldom do we listen for ourselves. If you know a child of God, and that child of God has gone through a trial or through an experience, and you have heard him relate it, and when you hear it from the pulpit or you hear it being read, sometimes you listen for that child. You say, oh, I hope that he gets an ear to hear that. That's just his case. That's a good way to listen. Although you may not be listening so for yourself, still you're listening that this person may be fed, may be nourished. Oh, it's wrong, my hearers, to listen for something that you could criticize, something that you could pick on, or something that you could place upon somebody else. That's a good one for them. That's no blessing whatsoever, my hearers. And Mary sat at his feet, and she likewise was spoken against by her own sister. But Jesus, he took up her case. And he rebuked Martha for her being so troubled and so concerned about all the things that she was getting ready. And now he said unto her, one thing is needful. What is that one thing, my hearers? What's needful for you? Have you any true need? We all have needs. Every one of us. We need things for the existence of our life. Every day we need food, we need nourishment. We need employment as men. And the women need likewise employment in their homes. There's a necessity for these things. But Jesus says one thing is needful. And what one thing is that? It's absolutely needful, my hearers, for you and I to find favor in the sight of God. That's the most important thing. Absolutely needful to have a new heart. And not a divided heart like Martha had, because her heart was there and then it was there. It was going to and fro. She was a child of God, but her heart was not in the right place. It's absolutely needful for you and I to have Jesus Christ and his salvation in our very hearts. To have him as our wisdom, as our righteousness, as our redemption, as our all and in all. Without this, no matter what we may have, it's useless. We have to leave it behind. We cannot take it with us. You may have many good things in life, and you may already have made a will who you're going to leave it to. But the time comes when you have to die, and you have not this one thing needful, then
It's an awful thing to enter into eternity. Oh, could I impress it upon every one of your souls, this one thing needful, Jesus? Has he become your need? Is he one that you're looking for, that you're praying to, that you're crying to in secret, longing to possess, can't live or die without him? How many have I in my dear Bible class that are exercising this way about Jesus? Blessed are ye if you are so. Have you found a place at his feet? Have you been given to hear his word? Time is coming when you will sit with him in heaven above on his throne. What a blessed place that'll be for such a sinner like you. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part that shall not be taken away from her. What was that good part? That good part was Jesus had chosen her, and in and through his choice, she was given to choose him. To choose him as her all, to sit at his feet, to be instructed by him, to be guided by him, to have him as her Savior and her Redeemer. This was the good part. She had this life of God dwelling in her, and this would never be taken away from her. No devil, no world, no sin, no nobody, no creature could ever take it away from her. Oh, it's a sure, it's a certain thing. If God has given you this life, has given you an interest in Jesus Christ, it can never be taken away. Because God in Jesus will never take it away. It's for eternity. It's of eternal duration. Oh, could these words but sink home into your heart. All what we have is only for the time. And if you don't have these things, my dear hearers, oh, what an awful eternity awaits you when you come to die. Oh, may you be given to do as we read of Ruth. She likewise made a good choice. You all know the story of Ruth, how that she was tempted by her mother-in-law to go back with her sister-in-law to her people and to her God. But Ruth could not go. No, Ruth had been given to feel that God loved her and she loved God. And she had been given to experience this love in Naomi. And therefore she said to Naomi, entreat me not to leave thee. For where thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. As thy God will be my God, and thy people my people. And where thou diest, there I will die. Nothing can separate us, she says. Oh, what a blessing to have made such a choice. Have you such a choice? A choice that this God is your God, that you love him. Oh, what a blessing we are given by grace to make a choice and to come out for our choice, as Mary did. Oh, may the Lord in his infinite mercy bless the feeble instruction I've been trying to give you this afternoon out of his precious words to your immortal soul. That's all for today.